We have a teaching this evening titled, What Time Is It? And I don't think that it's going to be 8:15 is not going to be the answer, but we're going to find out. So Sister Chris is going to give the teaching on What Time Is It?
Did you ever get the feeling something very significant is going on in the world? We live in very significant times. Do you ever feel that way? I know I certainly have. Yeah, Amos 3, verse 7, it says, Indeed, the Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. And so the Lord reveals his plan so that people might know, they might be aware and not be afraid and know what the Lord's doing. I think we can trust the Blessed Mother as a prophet, right? She's been sharing quite a bit. And I want to share a recent Medjugorje message that she had, that she said. And by the way, Pope Francis, he has now approved Medjugorje to become a shrine, which shows his approval of Medjugorje, which is good news. This is our Blessed Mother's message to Mirjana in Medjugorje, and it was on January 25th this year. So it's just real recent. But I think it's an important message. Dear children, pray with me for peace. Because Satan wants war and hatred in hearts and peoples. And don't we see that today? I know just 2 days ago, Pope Francis says, the whole world is at war and self-destruction. And Mary goes on and she says, therefore pray and sacrifice your days by fasting and penance, that God may give you peace. The future is at a crossroads. Because modern man does not want God. And we know crossroads indicates a point at which there has to be a crucial decision, and it will have far-reaching consequences, such as the future of the world. The future is at a crossroads right now. Our Blessed Mother continued saying, that is why mankind is heading to perdition. Wow, and that's a strong word, isn't it? Perdition is but a state of eternal punishment and damnation in which a sinful and unrepentant person passes after death. That's mighty strong. And then again, Mary says, yes, you, little children, are my hope. That's the good news. Pray with me that what I began at Fatima and here, she's speaking about Medjugorje, be realized, be prayer, and witness peace in your surroundings, and be people of peace. Thank you for having responded to my call. You know, many people have said Medjugorje is like a continuation of Fatima. So that's a message with a stunning warning and truth. And another time, Mary said, may prayer and fasting strengthen you so that you can live as the Heavenly Father would desire, that you may be my apostles of faith and love, that your life may bless those whom you meet. And then again, a promise from our Blessed Mother. She said, with prayer and fasting, you can stop wars and even suspend the laws of nature. And you know, that's mighty powerful and so needed today with creation rebelling against us. And then again, another promise from the Blessed Mother. She said, with prayer and fasting, you can stop wars and even suspend the laws of nature. So with our prayer and fasting, we can keep away some of the cataclysmic natural events that could happen in the world. And then again, she said, the one who prays is not afraid of the future, and the one who fasts is not afraid of evil. She said, only by prayer and fasting can war be stopped. We hear a lot today about war, don't we? Prayer and fasting can stop it. And only with prayer and fasting will we make the right turn at that crossroads. You know, some who have carefully studied what heaven seems to be saying to us through different mystics and prophets, they say that the Immaculate Heart will triumph in the next 7 to 10 years. Well, only God knows. We'll see. But if that's so, we can expect to see an awful lot happening in the next few years. Many say that we're living in the end times, and of course that does not mean the end of the world in any shape or form, but it means the end of an era of evil and sin, Satan's. How many of you have heard of Garen Bendall and the messages that have been given there? Okay, a good number of us. I don't know, maybe half. There's another significant apparition Our Lady told Conchita in Garen Bendall. It was on June 3rd, 1960, so years ago. She said there would be three more popes, and she wasn't counting John Paul I, who only lived 30 days, and so he didn't really have an impact on the church. But she says after three more popes, there will be the end of times preceding the new era of grace and holiness that the Blessed Mother promised at Fatima. And the Blessed Mother reportedly spoke to Conchita during the reign of Pope John the 23rd. And so the first pope after him was Paul the 6th, and then John Paul the 1st, who she wasn't counting, and then John Paul II, and then Pope Benedict the 16th. Of course, we know Pope Benedict XVI just died recently. So since his death, Pope Benedict, many say that we're living in the end times. And again, doesn't mean the end of the world in any way, shape, or form, but the beginning of things that lead us to a new era. We're not at the new era yet of grace and holiness, but we're at the beginning of things that lead to that. And in one message to Conchita and Garen Bendall, the Blessed Mother said there would be a synod. Now, this is in 1960, okay? Conchita was a very young teenage girl. There would be a synod before future events. She had no idea what a synod was. But, of course, now we're having one. Conchita is now 74 years of age. And there was another message to her that serious things would happen after the Pope went to Moscow. And recently, Pope Francis has said he's going there. So we'll see. See what happens. How many of you heard of messages of Mary in Akita, Japan? How many of you? Okay, some of you. Good number. Well, the visions in Akita, Japan, they have been approved by the Church. And they report that the first thing that would happen would be apostasy. You know, cardinal against cardinal and bishop against bishop, and people begin breaking away from the Church. Don't we see that today? Yeah, if you're on top of the spiritual news, it is. Another thing, she says, will happen is the Pope will be persecuted. The Mass will be abolished for a period of time and forced to close the churches. Pagan world leaders would strip from us our God-given rights in such a way that the Church will be under attack. And this is said a number of years ago. And that would prepare the world for the Antichrist. Laws would be introduced so that those who uphold the laws of the Church and human life will be persecuted. How many of you have heard of the warning or illumination of conscience? Can you show me hands? Okay. Well, what will happen then is God will show each person in the whole wide world, their sins as he sees them. And that can be so striking to some people might die of the shock, but God sees us not always exactly as we see ourselves, but everyone will see themselves. And then, of course, the opportunity to turn to God or not, you know, the light will be there to make a clear choice. So he'll illuminate our minds and our consciences, and he'll give us a moment to repent. But if people go back to their sinful ways, like 9/11, then there'd be a severe punishment, such as we can't imagine. You know, far from the earth, far from the sky, not a pretty scene. After that warning, there would be a great miracle in Garen Bendall, Spain. 8 days before the great miracle, Conchita will give the day of the miracle. The question is, you know, how anyone survived? Saint Faustina, approved by the Church, tells us that the only refuge is the two hearts. We don't need to find a refuge to run to, because the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart are our refuge. So if we consecrate ourselves to the two hearts, God will protect us wherever we are. We don't need to find a physical refuge. And you know, it's interesting, since day one of Lighthouse Community, we've been led by the Lord to always consecrate Lighthouse and ourselves to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. And a person can do that daily if they like. So then, after a great world purification, there will be a reign of God's will on earth. Satan will be enchained, and people's temptations will be greatly reduced. And this will go on for a long period of time before the final coming of Christ. People say it will be an agrarian society. There will be no satellites, no cell phones, no computers, etc. What do you think of that? You know, some of us would welcome that. It will be a peaceful time, a very peaceful time, a loving time. Christ living in each and every person fully. Well, most people, anyway. So, I share that because, you know, in 2 weeks, we have Lent. And Lent is a tremendous time to repair and help save countless others. You know, we're not concerned just about ourselves. If we are concerned about others, we'll probably be taken care of. God gives us time to repair now in repentance, and then we can help others in a time of great evangelization when there's a warning and they see themselves and have an opportunity to turn to the Lord, to bring people to the Lord. And of course, the Life in the Spirit seminar is starting soon. That's also now a real opportunity to bring people to the Lord. So 2 weeks from today is Lent. Good news is that we can definitely affect the future of the world. We can lessen chastisements that the world deserves. We can change history by our response to God. Now's the time to plan what we're going to do for Lent, right? So let's take a look at some of the things we can do. Tom's going to hand you out a list there. Someone made that list. It's got just a number of things just to give you ideas, you know, what you might want to do. This might be the most important Lent of our life. And of course, the church doesn't teach we need to believe in some of the mystics. That's not an article of faith. So we're free to believe or not believe. But here's some possible Lenten practices. Number one, repent. Matthew 4:17, if you want to look that up. Do acts of penance for our sins and make reparation to God for our sin. Number two is pray. Matthew 26:41. We can pray the rosary. We can pray the hours of the passion. You know, that is the only devotion approved by the church that Jesus promises that a soul is saved for every word we say in praying the hours of the passion. That's the only devotion that the Lord and the church have ever given approval of that way. By meditating on the passion, by the way, you know, we come to more deeply how much God loves us, how much Jesus loves us, how much he suffered for us. And then we learn to love him more. The more a person, we're aware of a person's love for us, the more we're inclined to love them back. Next is a live sacramental life, 2 Corinthians 13:13. Confession, visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Consecrate self to Sacred Heart and Immaculate Heart. Again, you can do that every day. Live out your vocational responsibilities. Meditate on the Word of God, Hebrews 12:4, and other spiritual reading too that is inspired by God. Examination of conscience, 1 Timothy 3:9, 2 Timothy 1:7. Detachment from the world, Matthew 16:24. Take up our cross daily. Practice virtue of mortification, Romans 8:17. Fast often and make sacrifices for the reparation of sin. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Psalm 5:3-6. Strive for interior peace. Love God and love one another. Luke 10:25-28. And what I want you to do right now is take a few minutes and ask the Lord what He wants you doing and see if you can't come up with a decision or two. Okay, we'll just have some silence right now. Just pray, turn to the Lord, close your eyes and say, Lord, what do you want me doing for Lent to make a difference for the world? Were you able to come up with a Lenten penance? Hopefully so. If not, keep asking the Lord.